From Global's newsroom, I'm Gillian Whelan, reporting from George Square on the first anniversary of the Glasgow bin lorry crash.
Just shock, really, that such an unexpected tragedy should happen, and in the way it did, in the heart of our city.
There was an eerie silence fell across George Square. The lights were still flickering at that point.
It's a tragic incident at any time of year, but in the run-up to Christmas, it was particularly busy, and it's particularly tragic.
The city of Glasgow was really badly affected by the tragedy last year, and I'm sure people across the city will pause to remember it on this first anniversary.
This is Hearts Nightly News.
12 months have passed since that cold afternoon when a normal winter day turned to tragedy. George Square was packed, full of people getting ready for Christmas. There were queues at the cash machines, people rushing to shops and crowds crossing the roads. In moments, everything changed.
There's a lot of distressed people, and certainly the city will need to come round those people that have been traumatised by the incident.
At 2:30, a council bin lorry on its normal route turned onto Queen Street. As the lorry reached Tam Shepherd's joke shop, it lost control.
It went along the pavement, knocking everyone like pinballs.
The 26-tonne truck then started veering down the road, hitting people as it went.
It just continued knocking people down until it actually ended up in the building.
It's off on the ground and just devastating. Christmas time, it's just people are now not going to be with their families over Christmas, and it's just completely devastating.
It took just 19 seconds.
At about 2:30 this afternoon, a Glasgow City Council refuse, a bin lorry, was travelling north in Queen Street outside the Gallery of Modern Art when it was in a collision with a pedestrian. The bin lorry then has continued north on Queen Street. It would appear to have gone up the footway, and there have been a number of other pedestrians that it has collided with.
Chief Superintendent Andy Bates, Divisional Commander, Greater Glasgow Division, Police Scotland. I was at a meeting with a colleague in Pollock Police Office when I took the phone call from the duty officer at Force Overview, who told me that there'd been what at that time appeared to be a fatal road accident in George Square in Glasgow involving a bin lorry that had gone onto the footpath and collided with a number of pedestrians.
What went through your mind at that exact moment? Because you must hear and deal with so many road accidents across Scotland. What was different about this one?
It was already described as a fatality, and at that time we didn't know how many people had died, but we clearly knew it was very, very serious. And my immediate response was that I needed to get there as quickly as possible and to see what was happening. And I also needed to make sure that the correct police response was in place, so I needed to make sure I could contact my colleagues and to make sure that we had the command structure in place to make sure that we dealt with this as effectively and as efficiently as we possibly could.
Lord Provost of Glasgow, Sadie Doherty. I can clearly remember being in the house, wrapping presents and tidying up in preparation for Christmas, when I got a phone call from my son, who works in the city centre, and says to me, "Mum, something has happened, and it involves a bin lorry." I was quite distraught, to be honest with you, because my sympathies went out to the people that had came in shopping to be met with what was a catastrophe for many, many people. I actually came in from the house in here and stood looking out my window, just looking on it. So it was very emotional for me on that day, given that it was just right outside the City Chambers.
Sandra White, MSP for Glasgow Kelvin. I was out shopping, actually, and I live across from where the tragedy happened in Queen Street. I had been out shopping, crossed through Royal Exchange Square, went up to my flat to put some parcels in, heard a noise, didn't quite know what it was, came down the stairs, and as I turned to go towards the square, the police were there. It was just horrific. And they were telling everyone, not to go forward. They were already erecting barriers. People were in absolute shock.
6 people died in the crash. Erin McQuaid was 18. She was studying English at Glasgow University. At her funeral, she was described as a light-hearted, caring, family-loving girl. Erin died alongside her grandparents, Jack and Lorraine Sweeney. They'd been married for more than 45 years and had created a loving family. They were very close. Jacqueline Morton was 51 years old. She'd finished work early and was on her way to pick up her 2 granddaughters, her wee princesses, as she liked to call them. One of her granddaughters described her as the brightest star in the sky. She'll always be watching over us. Gillian Ewing from Edinburgh was in Glasgow shopping with her daughter Lucy. Gillian splits her time in Cyprus and was looking forward to spending her first Christmas in Scotland for 4 years. Lucy was just inches from her mum when she was hit. And primary school teacher Stephanie Tate was in town with her partner when it happened. She was loved by her pupils, The 29-year-old was described as leaving behind a legacy of fun and laughter.
It's just impossible, really, to put yourself in the position of the families that lost loved ones. I know it's been a difficult year. Obviously, it's been a difficult year. They lost loved ones, but having to go through the fatal accident inquiry was not easy for those families either. So, you know, this will be a difficult Christmas for them. And my thoughts over the festive period this year will be very, very much with them. This is Hearts Nightly News.
Now, Fiona Winchester is at Glasgow Sheriff Court looking back at that fatal accident inquiry that followed.
For the families and survivors, there were many unanswered questions. The fatal accident inquiry was carried out to try and get a clearer picture of what had happened that day. This was, of course, a difficult process, and some of the relatives became angry that driver Harry Clark wasn't being prosecuted. The court heard that he'd suffered a series of blackouts throughout his life, including one behind the wheel of a stationary bus in 2010. When the inquiry came to an end, a statement was read on the steps here on behalf of Jacqueline Morton's family.
The last 6 weeks have been a difficult, stressful and at times upsetting experience for us as a family. Over the course of these last few weeks, the fatal accident inquiry has heard evidence around the actions of individuals and organisations which led to the deeply tragic events of December 22nd, 2014. The actions of Harry Clark have been examined and explored in detail. The family feel that the answers that Mr. Clark could not give can be found in the evidence given by the other witnesses and documents laid before the inquiry. The inquiry has highlighted weaknesses in the system that makes it too easy for an individual to obtain and retain a driving licence when they are not fit to drive, contrary to public safety. The actions of an individual cannot be allowed to lead to a tragedy on such a scale again.
Sheriff John Beckett's findings were revealed a couple of weeks ago. He found that Harry Clark had repeatedly lied in order to gain and retain jobs and licences and had deliberately concealed relevant information from the DVLA. The sheriff identified eight reasonable precautions, all relating to the 58-year-old's medical past, where the accident could have been avoided. Now relatives of three of the victims, Erin McQuaid and Jack and Lorraine Sweeney, plan to stage a private prosecution against Mr. Clark. Cases like this are rare in Scotland, and the process is long and expensive. Now to Conor Gillis, who's been at a service for the victims a year on.
The church was packed with hundreds of people and families sitting with their heads bowed.
This ecumenical service allows the opportunity for us all in our great city to stand in solidarity with one another and express our prayerful support for all those affected by what happened.
Families of the six victims walked slowly from the back of the church to the altar, carrying a candle.
Gillian Ewing, Erin McQuaid, Jack Sweeney, Lorraine Sweeney, Jacqueline Morton, Stephanie Tate.
There was then a 2 minute silence. At this point, you could hear some people crying softly whilst others hugged.
We observe now 2 moments of silence as we remember all those affected by this tragedy.
Many were dressed in black, and the First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, was among those paying tribute after she told Heart it was special.
It was a very poignant service, a very moving service, a very raw service in many ways. And, you know, I thought it was beautifully put together by the city's churches. But it was an opportunity for us to say to the families that we are thinking of them.
Many of the families gathered afterwards to remember the good times with their loved ones, and for everyone, it was an emotional moment. I spoke to Nicola, who is Jacqueline Morton's daughter-in-law.
She was just an amazing person.
Wonderful granny.
Amazing granny. Sadly missed now.
How hard was today taking that candle up to the altar?
Really, really hard. Probably the hardest part, because the girls were doing it. But I'm proud of them.
What's your favourite memory of Jacqueline?
Her laugh. Amazing laugh. Very funny. Fiery person. Just all overall fantastic.
Making sense of something like this is virtually impossible. What we do is we turn to the human spirit and hope and pray that the triumph of the human spirit is what will go on from here. And particularly in a city like this, that gives us optimism, knowing in the past how Glaswegians have pulled together and shown their strength and warmth of heart. That gives one grounds for hope.